You're listening to a podcast from Blogging Heads TV.
Hi, Arye.
Hi, Bob.
How you doing?
I'm okay. How are you?
I'm living in interesting times. Let me introduce us. I'm Robert Wright. This is The Wright Show on Blogging Heads TV. You are Arye Cohen-Wade. You are the host of Culturally Determined, also on Blogging Heads TV. This is a special edition of Blogging Heads. It actually started out being one kind of special edition, and now it's going to be another kind. What I mean by that is it was originally going to be, you know, kind of one of these in-house things where we talk about your show and we talk about some Blogging Heads matters and some Blogging Heads community matters. I still want to do some of that. You know, it's going to be that's too remote a comparison. And besides, you're too young to remember when, like, characters from Green Acres would show up on Petticoat Junction. That would be like you showing up on my show.
Crossover edition.
Okay, but anyway, we're still going to do some of that, but...
Kind of like when Batman and Superman are in the same movie.
Kind of. Except it's not, you know, the network metaphor is not there, I don't think. We digress. Anyway, the other kind of, it's morphed into a slightly different kind of special edition because right before we started taping, we learned that James Comey has been fired. Mm-hmm. The FBI director has been fired by Donald Trump, our president. And so we feel duty-bound to talk a little about that and try to make sense of it, even though certainly anything, even if we can come up with anything interesting to say, it will be a cliche by tomorrow morning, given the rate at which these things move. But still... I think there's even that is interesting. Go ahead and say a few things that will be hostages to fortune and see if any of them turn out to be prescient or withstand the test of time or anything else. It's a super weird thing, right?
Yeah, we may look like fools tomorrow, but this was pretty shocking that it happened at like 5:45 on a Tuesday. My first Twitter reaction was, this is the Tuesday night massacre. Are there going to be further firings? Nothing else has come out as of 7 p.m. Eastern time.
Well, nothing else has to. I mean, with the famous Saturday night massacre, the only reason it was multiple firings, right, was because the attorney general, if I'm recalling correctly, refused to carry out Nixon's initial order to fire the special prosecutor, who in this analogy would be kind of like Comey. Comey's not a special prosecutor. But he was investigating connections between the Trump campaign and Russia, right? So yeah. It's not too distant a comparison with the... Now, of course, Trump, in his letter to Comey, made a point of saying, although you told me three times that I am not under investigation, he wanted to get out there. Like, this isn't about me, but of course, that's kind of a subtle and technical distinction he's making. His campaign was under investigation, in a certain sense, as the Watergate thing was largely about the activities of a campaign. It's just that by the time there was a special prosecutor, the activities had pretty clearly infiltrated the Nixon administration. The corruption had infiltrated the Nixon administration itself. Anyway... So I'm hearing people on Twitter dispute the comparison to the Saturday Night Massacre. Certainly not precise, but it's not nothing. I think it's the most banana republic-y thing that has happened yet, right? And then that was the concern of a lot of people.
Yeah.
And I think by and large, things had been less banana republic-y than many people had feared. But this is like, I mean. In case it needs spelling out, I don't think there's much doubt that Trump wants to shut down this very investigation into the connection between the Trump campaign and Russia. And I say that as somebody who kind of always assumed there was not going to be a there. Mm-hmm. I didn't think we were going to get some kind of big smoking gun, but I'm reconsidering about whether a gun is there, although not reconsidering about whether we'll find one.
And one of the things that's so strange about what we know as of 7 p.m. is that the letter that was written to justify the firing said that it was mainly because of his actions regarding the Hillary Clinton email probe.
Right.
And going public about that the first time. And, of course, his intervention in the 2016 election, especially the second one, eight days before the election, is what many people on the left consider the tipping point that turned the election to Trump.
Right. Right. So the complaint, and, you know, I had heard people say that there were questions to be raised about how Comey inserted himself into politics, beginning with that moment when he held the press conference about, you know, because, okay, quick review, the Attorney General, Loretta Lynch, right, had recused herself from the investigation of Hillary's emails because she had been seen talking to Bill Clinton on an airplane. Nice going, Bill. And so Comey was conducting the investigation without any kind of oversight from her, and so he took it upon himself to hold a press conference. And that's, you know, people had asked questions about the propriety of that, and now suddenly Jeff Sessions is asking them, ironically. I mean, specifically, Sessions complains in his letter, the letter that Trump forwarded to Comey, the letter that justifies the firing. Jeff Sessions, the Attorney General, complains that Comey revealed derogatory information about someone who was part of an investigation that was now being wrapped up without prosecution, i.e. Hillary Clinton. I mean, that's kind of funny, right? Trump saying he's firing the guy for saying something derogatory about Hillary Clinton.
It's bizarre. When Trump led chants of lock her up during his campaign rallies.
Some people would construe that as derogatory.
Right. Well, he was just a private citizen at that point.
Yeah.
It's bizarre. I also joked on Twitter, Jared for FBI director. But I think we'll have to see who the nomination is. I think that's the real thing that will say, are we headed towards Banana Republichood or not, if, you know, it's a Trump crony nominated for FBI director or someone who is qualified. He's actually been not that bad in terms of his nominations for his defense, his Secretary of Defense and National Security Advisor, at least the second time around, and Homeland Security Advisor. He's been more serious about that than some of the other cabinet nominees.
Yeah. And Sessions is not a complete hack, but I'm starting to wonder. I mean, one thing that somebody pointed out is that, in fact, maybe it was Tim Kaine, the senator on Twitter, that Sessions had recused himself from the Russia investigation. And so, like, now he's firing Comey. But that's why it's important that technically his reasons for firing Comey have nothing to do with the Russia investigation. Now, interestingly, when I asked Marcy Wheeler, who was on here, some weeks ago, and really knows this stuff inside out, she's at the Empty Wheel blog. When I asked her, does it matter that Sessions is recusing himself? Doesn't he have some deputy who will be happy to carry his water for him? And she said, actually, as it happens, the deputy attorney general, whoever inherits oversight of this, in other words, this would be the person in the Justice Department who, I guess in the absence of Sessions' involvement, Comey would be kind of reporting to on this. She said, no, this is actually a person considered to have integrity. And this is not some kind of Clinton hack. So, I mean, some kind of Trump hack or Trump, you know. That'll be interesting to see who, because that person is still there and I gather is nominally in charge of the investigation. Of course, if Trump, you know, inserts some, you know, like some Trump hack as director of the FBI, I guess it's going to be hard for this person of integrity at the Department of Justice to get at the facts. Although, right. although they have the authority, I think, to say, give us all the records you got on this, right? That they are the boss of the FBI.
Right. And what's weird is that Trump doesn't really have that many hacks because he hasn't, you know, he didn't assemble the coterie of hangers on that a normal politician assembles.
He's no Chris Christie.
Right. And he's, you know, the people who he's has working for him are kind of these weird people like Sebastian Gorka, who's kind of like a fraudulent academic. And
I've always thought he would make a great director of the FBI, are you?
Yeah, well, he has a great accent. Yeah, so there's no, he doesn't really, he doesn't have hacks, he has cronies. I think there's a difference there. He has henchmen, but he doesn't, you know, unless it is Jared, who he puts in charge, there's no kind of obvious person. I guess Chris Christie, possibly, but...
Actually, Chris Christie is an interesting suggestion. Because Christie, I think, is, at this point, desperate enough. I mean, where his careers ain't going nowhere. His approval rating in New Jersey is like 1%.
Right.
That's an interesting possibility. Or Rudy. Now, Rudy, I think Rudy is probably, when push comes to shove, more thuggish and corrupt than Christie. Although, I assume both are pretty deeply amoral. So those are interesting possibilities. Because I think Rudy would totally cover up anything for Trump. Chris Christie might. But Chris Christie's younger. He's got to worry a little more about his future. I would think there's a reasonably good chance that it'll be one of them, actually. Yeah. Because it needs to be, I mean, Trump's going to be under huge pressure for this. He needs to have somebody who at least has the credentials, which Giuliani, you know, Giuliani was a U.S. attorney.
And so was Christie.
And so was Christie. So it's probably a short list of people who have the credentials and would carry Trump's water for him.
Mm-hmm. But there's also does Comey know something, or was he about to find out something? I mean, it seems like, I kind of agree with you that there's no smoking gun. Did you see the...
Well, I'm not so sure anymore. I think given the heat Trump's going to take for this, there must have been something specific he wanted to hide.
But if Comey is now a private citizen, can't he testify to whatever that was?
I asked that question on Twitter and didn't get an answer, but I suspect that he is precluded from disclosing things that were obtained as part of the investigation.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, but I mean, two issues there. One is he could just say, well, it's my patriotic duty. Here's what I know. Send me to jail. I mean, and become a martyr. It's
that's
a living.
That's kind of the role he was playing already.
Well, right. And this leads to, well, go ahead.
Yeah, kind of like the guy who went by the letter of the law and always did the right thing, and you know, he said he was not slightly nauseated by what he was forced to do when he reopened the Clinton email investigation, but he just felt compelled by the letter of the law and he believes in it so much. So that's kind of who he is to his core.
Well, plus I think in his heart he feels he has a makeup call or two that he owes America, right? I think he was pretty determined to make sure that any dirt on Trump that he came across, he disclosed, because he knows that right now people think that he basically handed the election to Trump. Mm-hmm. And so I think he felt he had some making up to do. I don't know whether this was conscious, but I would think that that's another reason. Not just that he's a principled guy, but he's a principled guy who, if he was going to compromise his principle at all, would do it against Trump, given his where he is psychologically.
One would think, but I mean, he didn't resign. He could have resigned at some point over various things.
Well, Trump may have asked for his resignation earlier today, and he refused. This was not technically a resignation. Trump
That's
just
true.
Fired.
And Fox News initially reported it as a resignation, yeah, before changing it, so more is going to come out.
Now, an interesting thing is that Comey was scheduled to testify, I learned on Twitter, I think this week, in front of a Senate committee, I think Intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, one big question generally is, are there a few Republican senators of principle who will really take a stand here? Because, I mean, if the Republican Senate doesn't want to raise a fuss here, then a fuss will not be raised by the Senate. But if there were some senators, and I would imagine that people like John McCain and Lindsey Graham are not going to immediately hop on board the Trump train here, and they're asking, wondering how they should handle themselves. Now, I don't know who exactly is on the Intelligence Committee, but if there were enough, you know, if there's one or two Republican votes on that committee who would side with the Democrats, and I guess in the Senate writ large, it seems to me, I'm raising the question, could they invite Comey to testify, even though he's been fired, and immunize him against any crime he would commit by telling us what he knows?
Yeah, that's interesting. I don't know.
I sure don't. But
I don't know. Well, we'll have to see.
Well, it may not occur to them. Maybe I should tweet it at this moment.
Yeah, but I mean, Republican of principle, this is something that there are fewer of than there used to be. So,
well, often pure principle is not enough. But McCain has reasons to just hate Trump. Let's not forget the things Trump said about McCain. I mean, McCain, he likes to think of himself as a person of principle. He, right, in some respects, is probably more principled than the average senator, and he has specific reason to hate Trump. So I don't think it's crazy to think that he will stand up on cable TV by the time we've finished taping this and say this is outrageous. I don't think that's crazy.
Yeah.
And, you know, a couple of Republican senators on this issue could make a difference. I mean, if there's even a censure of Trump, a vote to censure Trump. Of course, I don't know parliamentary procedure. Maybe as long as you've got the majority leader on board, there's all kinds of things that can't even come up for a vote. I don't know how the American system works. It's a mystery to me. But then the other thing is, like, will there be – you would expect there to be protests in the street. But when I tweeted about this, somebody pointed out that all the people who do the protesting hate Comey.
Yeah, it is bizarre that he doesn't really have a public constituency. I think it really does depend on what happens next, whether someone serious is nominated to fill the position or a Trump hack or crony, and it does anyone else get fired, or is this a one-off?
Oh, I don't think anyone else needs to get fired unless the aforementioned principled Justice Department official whom Marcy Wheeler referred to, I don't know what his name is, starts doing things Trump wouldn't like. But I mean, getting Comey is the key guy. Of course, here's the other thing is, don't you think there's a reasonable chance that people left in the FBI are just going to leak the shit out of this stuff?
There's no real Trump loyalists like already in government. He doesn't have the normal group of people. Like, they barely nominated people to fill the, you know, 500 or so appointments that they have to fill. They've nominated like less than 100 people last I heard. So he doesn't have a group of bureaucrats fighting for his agenda, which is, I think, one of the reasons why almost nothing has gotten done in the past 100 days.
Right. So you can imagine, and I mean, Comey, leaving aside whether he says stuff in public, he may go off, he may go on background for reporters. And, you know, if you see someone identify it as a news story as a high-ranking FBI official, comma, or at least someone who was recently a high-ranking, that will be Comey.
Yeah, and the amount of leaking that's happened in this White House is really extraordinary. There's constant battles. I mean, there's the whole thing with Sebastian Gorka, whether or not he was fired, or it turns out maybe he wasn't, but enemies of possibly Steve Bannon leaked to the press that he was about to be fired. I mean, Trump's decision-making is so hard to figure out, and then you have this whole, like, battle for his attention within the White House. Part of it takes place over cable news. Someone call the situation absurd.
Someone did call the situation absurd. Before we talk about absurdity, I want to say there's two kinds of leaks. I mean, there are those White House leaks, but that's not the kind of leaks. There's also the bureaucracy leaks that Trump has to worry about, like the original leak that Michael Flynn had spoken several times to the Russian, foreign minister that fateful day. That was originally a leak from the intelligence community. And what Trump has to worry about now is leaks from the FBI from people involved in the investigation, I think. Mm-hmm. Or maybe leaks from Comey himself. So before we turn to other matters, I mean, I guess that's the state of play. Like, what the hell? It's going to be fascinating. I mean, the media is buying, mainstream media is going to be up in arms, whether obviously so or more subtly so. It is. It does seem to me outrageous. It will be. People will note that. You know. Well, I don't know how significant it is that Trump also fired Sally Yates and Preet Bharara. Sally Yates, I mean, she just refused to carry out one of his policies, and that you're going to get fired for that. But this is wild, and I don't. You know, it's not in a technical sense, I guess, a constitutional crisis, because I don't think there's any doubt that Trump has the authority to do this. And maybe the point he emphasized in that letter, that he himself was not under investigation, will be the key point that keeps it from being a constitutional crisis, or you know, or something that would be amenable to remedy in the courts. I don't know my law, but
I'm reading the new book by David Gran. Actually, I just finished. It's called Killers of the Flower Moon. It's an interesting history of a obscure series of murders that happened in.
I heard him on the radio. I heard him on the radio. That was fascinating. Who knew? I mean, there were all these Native Americans getting killed because they had been given the right to make money off of oil.
Right.
And this was like 100 years ago or something?
It's less. It's in the 1920s. And part of the story is it was one of the first cases that the newly established Bureau of Investigations, I don't think it was even called the FBI yet,
right,
investigated, and it was, and J. Edgar Hoover appointed the guy to go, you know, from the federal government to look at the case. But I mean, when you think about all the shit that the FBI pulled under J. Edgar Hoover, and he was never fired, and then whatever the heck, you know, for this.
Well, he was never fired because he had dirt on every president.
Right. Well, I mean, then you wonder, does Comey have something? Was Comey on the verge of finding something? How would Trump know that?
Right.
It's really hard.
I think that's the interesting thing. I suspect that there's something he hadn't found that Trump was afraid he would find. Because if there's something he had found, it would find its way into public awareness, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you're probably right to put it that way, is that there is more out there than Comey had gathered, and so maybe it won't matter how many leaks there are, whether Comey talks, or what. So I guess we've said what little we can say at this point, given our limited expertise and the fluidity of the situation, and so we can go on and talk about other things. As I said, I want to do a little discussion of like the whole blogging head / meaning of life community. It's kind of like, you could think of it as Pledge Week, except we're not going to ask you to give us money, but it will be self-referential in that way. And I'll leave people in suspense about what exactly I mean by that. And let's first, first of all, let's remind people of your great show, Culturally Determined. You're getting great guests. You got this Chris Arnott guy. Is that his name?
Arnotti.
Right as he was on the verge of being catapulted to celebrity, you've got a sense for these things. He's the guy who's traveling America, former Wall Street guy, and trying to explain to America like why people who are not necessarily evil support Trump by and large.
Mm-hmm.
You've had, I mean, who are some of the other guests you've had?
We had Farhad Manjoo.
Right.
Talk about Facebook.
No, that's a good get, man. He's a star.
Yeah, so I was on hiatus for a while. I'm back now, doing these, trying to do at least a couple a month. If anyone who watches Blogging Heads has a topic or a guest that they'd like to see on, I'm very open to suggestions. You can leave a comment or you can send me a Twitter message. ARYEHCW is my Twitter handle. And actually, Arnotti was a suggestion from a Blogging Heads viewer.
Was that right?
Yeah.
Excellent. And then you had like a comedy writer, for shows that a person my age may not have heard of,
mm-hmm.
but anyone younger than me would have. She was really good.
Yeah.
And so, that was a very knowing, sharp interview on your part. And then you had the book on privilege.
Right.
By
Phoebe Maltbovey.
Right. So you've had a lot of good stuff, and this is one thing that we think makes Blogging Heads great. So I'll put off the rest of Pledge Week until the end. Let's talk a little about this idea. I gather that you have managed to come to terms with the Trump administration in a way that's consistent with keeping your peace of mind. And of course, this was before the Comey thing. God, it's so tempting to check Twitter. I should like turn off that other computer. Is that your dog?
Yeah, my wife just came home. So
is that Lima?
Yep, it's Lima.
Hello, Lima. So you are, and you may write something about this. But who knows? Maybe I can help crystallize your thinking about this. Like, what is the? How have you managed to attain nirvana amid Trump? At least amid Trump, pre-Comey firing.
I was, I think one of the things that's been weird is the mainstream media has trouble dealing with Trump because he's unlike any other politician in American history. And he's basically just, in my opinion, an absurd figure. And a lot of things he does are surreal and absurd. He doesn't care about the truth at all. He's a salesman, and whatever is, he'll take any fact that's lying around for whatever case he's making on any particular day. He flip-flops on everything. He's, gone back on multiple campaign pledges and doesn't seem to care at all. He's just a very strange figure, unlike anything we've ever seen before. And the media is really adverse to saying public figure X is lying. Like, it's very rare for the media to ever say that. They'll say facts differ.
Yeah, I have a position on this that differs from yours and is worth talking about probably, but go ahead. I mean, I don't think the media should say anyone lies unless they know for a fact that the person was aware that the information was untrue when they said it. Because if they weren't aware, then it's not a lie. A lie involves conscious intent to deceive.
Right. So that's true. And it's a real question whether or not Trump knows what he's talking about at any given time. I mean, if you train your parrot to say the sky is green, it's not lying.
Right.
Because it doesn't know any better. And the way Trump talks, it's clear that he kind of just, things pass through his mind very quickly. And yeah, I mean, do you remember what he said about NATO? How he said NATO was obsolete during the campaign, and then he just said, it's no longer obsolete. It's just like, the way he operates is very different from anything that's ever happened before. So if we posit this, I was thinking about this, some news report came out over the radio, and I suddenly just felt like if I embrace the absurdity and just kind of accept it, it does lead to a place where I'm kind of like, this is why I'm still trying to formulate exactly how to express this, but it reminded me of this passage from Kundera's novel The Unbearable Lightness of Being, about how you only live life once, there's no second chance, and how much could life be worth if it's only a rehearsal, you don't get to do it again. And I did feel this kind of sense of like, okay, this is all absurd. It's okay now. Am I making sense here?
Well, yeah, in the sense that, I mean, the Kundera point, I'm not sure we need to get that deep. That was was that an explicit reference to Nietzsche's eternal recurrence?
Yes. So he was refuting Nietzsche's
this eternal recurrence thing is subject to differing interpretations, but I gather Nietzsche had said, like, the perfect life, or the Superman, like this kind of perfect being, would say that if would be willing to relive his life eternally, right? No regrets, right? That's one interpretation of eternal recurrence. And I guess, who was it? Is it Kundera. I gather was saying, actually, you never know whether there's a version of your life that's better than this one. I mean, you'd never know that, hey, I just lived the best life possible, because who knows or the worst life possible, because you've only got the one life as a reference point.
Yeah, you don't get to do it again.
Right. So, and I'm not sure I see the connection between your kind of comfortable absurdism. I mean, the way I see your comfortable absurdism is you just finally said, like, you know, this is so much like a movie. Why don't I just treat it as one, right?
There's part of that, but it's also like, I actually was thinking about something that Glenn Lowry said in a dialogue he did with Ann Althaus, where he was talking about, you know, respecting the office of the presidency. And I thought, well, Trump doesn't deserve our respect at all. He's not an individual who anyone should respect.
Well, but Glenn would make the distinction between Trump and the office.
Right, but Trump is, if someone can attain the office, who is such a ridiculous person.
How much respect does the office deserve?
Exactly. And then if we posit that, you know, maybe the office doesn't deserve our respect at all, that's kind of like, well, does the American Constitution, this great document that we're all taught in school, is, you know, one of the pillars of human civilization? The guy who's sworn to uphold the U.S. Constitution is this absurd figure. You know, maybe the Constitution ain't all that great to begin with if we could end up in this crazy situation.
Yeah. So, but how does that lead to comfortable absurdism? I mean, is it that, that before you had this feeling that, oh, I've got to go out and fight for America, and then you go like, wait a second, is this worth the fight? Why don't I relax and enjoy the show?
It almost is a little bit like that. Uh-huh. I'm still trying to work out in my head why I had this feeling of like a sense of relief about, you know, it's almost like an emotional remove from the events of the day.
Right.
And we're just discussing one of the most traumatic events of Trump's tenure. You know, there's people on Twitter saying this is a constitutional crisis, but at the same time, it is like the guy who was on The Apprentice is the one who fired the FBI director. This is absurd, right?
It's totally absurd. And, you know, I not only respect, but kind of side with the view that we shouldn't be dismissive of people who voted for Trump. I understand their outrage. I understand X, Y, and Z. But people who don't appreciate how blown away people are by how just bizarre this is, I don't get. Because this is just bizarre. There's never been a president remotely like this, at least, you know, certainly not in my lifetime. No, ever.
I mean, there's never been a president before who had no prior government experience or governor or military experience. So, like I said, he's a buffoon, but he is the president.
So maybe your peace of mind is like, you know, when you're rooting for a sports team, you really want them to win, and they're just losing, and it's like late in the third quarter, and it's early in the fourth quarter, and you're just like, oh God, this is hard. They got to win. Come on, come on. No, don't fumble, blah, blah, blah. And then you finally go, oh, they're definitely going to lose. So I can calm down.
Yeah, yeah.
It's kind of like that. It's like you have abandoned all hope and you have found peace therein.
Yeah, that's not a bad way to put it.
Well, congratulations on that. We need more Americans like you, Arye.
Yeah, so I'd be interested for more reactions to this in the comments. Please let me know if this just sounds totally crazy to you. Or whether...
I think people who follow you on Twitter know that you were pretty freaked out about Trump. So there was a high level of anxiety to be relieved from. And I was pretty freaked out too. Bizarre.
Another key thing is that he's proven him. I mean, I was very worried when he was inaugurated, and the travel ban was very worrying. But he's shown himself to be so incompetent. Like, he hasn't been able to accomplish anything. He has no idea how government works. Paul Ryan fooled him into thinking he needed to pass this healthcare law so that he could cut taxes. He's just an idiot. And, you know, luckily, we do have a system of checks and balances, so he hasn't been able to enforce his will on the populace. But he's like an authoritarian without the authority, even though he is president.
Yeah. An authoritarian without the authority. That's right. I mean, you know, Mickey Callis was, Trump supporter Mickey Kaus.
Well-known political commentator Mickey Kaus.
Was on here, and he was saying, you guys said he'd be an authoritarian. Now do you realize how wrong you were? This was a few weeks ago, and I was like, well, he's not a successful authoritarian. We don't know that he wouldn't seize the opportunity if in the wake of a terrorist attack or something. And now we're seeing that, you know, he's got it in him. And it'll be interesting to see after this firing of Comey, like, what did the Gallup approval ratings do? If God forbid they should go up, who knows what's next, right? I mean, if he feels himself amassing power, and I don't think they're going to go down much because I'll tell you, that 40% base of support of his seems to be rock solid. I think the lowest it's gotten to is 38 or something. And it's just like no matter what happens, you just don't see much movement below that level. So this will be a test. But yeah, so okay, well, so you have found peace, and this Comey firing does not disrupt your peace?
You know, I was surprised by it, but it is just another kind of, it is absurd and surreal.
Well, it confirms your premise that things are just too weird to get involved with.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Well, Trump is famous for firing people. That's what he's most famous for before becoming president. But one weird thing is that there's been reporting that he doesn't actually like firing people. That's why some of these losers stick around him for so long, is that he's actually uncomfortable firing people. So it's a strange time to be alive.
It's a strange time to be alive. So let's talk a little shop.
Yeah.
You know, longtime viewers may remember when you, back when you actually worked for Blogging Heads, which you don't now, you have like another day job. You've returned as like star host person. but you and I used to every once in a while do something we called Commenter Court, right, where we were trying to civilize the comment section, and we would like bring up specific comments and like adjudicate, like, is this person being too big a jerk? We, I think, perhaps wisely dropped that, like actually getting into the adjudication business. However, every once in a while, we have to renew a call for, first of all, contribution to the comment section. Secondly, civil contribution. And I want to explain why it matters. This is the pledge week part. As I said, we're not going to ask you for money. However, we do need people's support and help. And let me just back up a little further and say why. Like, we are living in an age where it's easy. It's not so hard to have a website that builds a large and faithful following, so long as you are highly partisan, right?
Right.
That's the, you look at whose Twitter followings are mushrooming. It's not these like detached, judicious people who are trying to see both sides of the argument. It's people who are like feeding the emotions of people on one side or the other. Mm-hmm. And that's what, you know, so much content is designed to do. And that's why fake news spreads on Facebook. So our site, now look, obviously I have an ideology, but I have tried to, you know, have a diversity of opinion on the site. I think we do a reasonably good job. I just had a kind of debatey thing with Eli Lake, who's generally thought of as a neoconservative. We've had, you know, before that one with Mickey Kaus, Trump supporter. It's true that I often do lapse into the kind of conversation I'm having with you, like, can you believe how weird this Trump thing is? But that's just, there's a lot of people who feel that way. Like virtually the entire category of kinds of people who would come on a site like Blogging Heads. So you get that, but I really am, and I've had a number of shows where we try to see things from the point of view of Trump voters. We've had authors like Arlie Hochschild who did that book on kind of on Trump land, so to speak. So we try for this to be a place where people of diverging views can have civil conversations with one another. And that is not a recipe for getting traffic. That is not a recipe for holding on to the traffic you have and the following you have. But I think it's actually needed more than ever. So we ask people to sympathize with our plight, help us maintain a robust following and community. And there's a couple things you can do. First, You can contribute to the comment section with thoughtful comments, ideally about the content, the conversation that's being had on the site or in the audio podcast, if that's the way you're listening to it, in civil fashion. Don't make fun of or ridicule or disrespect the people who have been kind enough to share their time with us for free and come on the site. Mm-hmm. And I have to say, we had this conversation that you were in on with some of the staffers here. We decided we may take a more assertive stance toward commenters who just kind of violate these laws and just delete comments and then ban them if necessary. There's going to be probably a little more of that because there's been some pretty obnoxious stuff on the site. Mm-hmm. And one reason this is important is, you know, if you've got a site like ours, which like is not in terms of its following, it's not MSNBC. I mean, lots of the people you see on MSNBC have come up through the ranks via Blogging Heads. Chris Hayes' very first video appearance anywhere in the entire known universe was on Blogging Heads.
Right.
But look, naturally, these people, once they're appearing on MSNBC every night, you know, they're not going to have time for Blogging Heads, except rarely. And in general, when we try to get good guests, we like to be able to give them a reason to come on the show. And we can't say we have as much traffic as MSNBC or you know, various other places like that. But if we manifestly have a group of discerning viewers and listeners, as reflected in intelligent, thoughtful comments and not a lot of obnoxious ad hominem sarcasm, that makes more people want to come on the site. It gives them a positive reinforcement for having been on the site. And believe me, this matters because, you know, sometimes people say to us, well, now that at least half of your audience is actually an audio podcast audience, and that trend will probably continue, why do you even maintain the video site? And one reason is actually because of the comment section, because, you know, when you're asking someone to be on a podcast, the thing about podcasts is, like, when I'm asked to be on a podcast, I mean, there are a few super famous ones and you're happy to be on those. But otherwise, you're like, how do I know who is listening to this, if anyone? There's actually, you don't get much evidence after appearing that anyone was listening. But if there's a place you can go to and there are comments that accumulate shortly after you show up and they're smart, that's evidence that there was a there. There was an audience. You were not the tree that fell in the woods without making a sound. Mm-hmm. So that all matters. And then the other thing people can do in lieu of pledging actual money, although I don't know, look, send us a check. We'll probably cash it. But no, more important than that is actually sharing our stuff on social media. That is going to become in some sense easier because we're going to convert Blogging Heads TV to YouTube. It's easier to embed like YouTube video. I don't mean we're only going to be on YouTube. We're still going to be on the site. But the player we use will be a YouTube player. So when you use the share interface on the site, it will just happen that it's easier to embed this stuff like on Facebook or YouTube. And so we encourage that. Sharing on social media, vitally important. And what else should we say? There's a couple of other things I want to say, but what else do you want to say? Anything?
I want to say, as someone who is now a show host and, you know, previously I was someone who was working for the site and monitoring comments, something you can do that I think is useful for the site to prosper is if you liked an episode, just leave a comment saying, I like this, or this was good,
right,
or thanks for this one. Doesn't need to be, if you don't have any deep thoughts, but you enjoyed something, you know, it's kind of like hitting like on Facebook. Just leave a comment saying, thanks for this, or interesting discussion. That's
exactly. Because sometimes people say, well, I don't think I have anything profound enough to say. Well, great conversation is you know, doesn't take long to say that. if you believe it. Or, you know, whatever you believe that's a positive. And if you have criticism, you know, share the criticism, but it shouldn't be ad hominem. It shouldn't be about the way people look. It should be substantive criticism. That's important, too.
Yeah.
Substantive civil criticism of points that are made. So that's all true. one or two more things. We had, you know, I had a meetup with, like, I think 8 listeners / viewers. And we didn't, like, advertise it heavily because we knew we couldn't fit much more than 8 on, you know. And it was like a video convening.
It was a virtual meetup.
It was a virtual meetup, right, virtual meetup. And so we didn't, like, advertise on the site. I just mentioned it at the very end of a dialogue, knowing that, you know, on any given day, some people are just watching one segment of the dialogue and won't get to that because the video site is actually designed to make that possible. And, you know, some people listening to a podcast won't get to the end. And then many people who do get to the end won't desire to participate in such a thing. So I just mentioned it briefly in one thing, and we got, you know, enough people expressed interest. It's very interesting. You discover the different ways people find the content. You discover that some of them who are, like, listening and not viewing are, like, either aware of Meaning of Life TV but not aware of Blogging Heads, or aware of Blogging Heads but not aware of Meaning of Life. In fact, they are sister channels, and you can subscribe to them, the podcast feed, separately. Although if you subscribe to my show, The Right Show, that is the one show where some of the content appears on Meaning of Life, some on Blogging Heads, so you're kind of transcending the distinction. But it was really interesting to talk to them. We talked a little bit about Trump, and I think I'm going to have another one of these meetups. And if people, you know, we probably, as is the case last time, we probably will not be able to accommodate quite as many people as express interest, but... you'll have a pretty good chance if you express interest. And the thing to do is go to our contact page. You go to bloggingheads.tv. At the very bottom of the page, the word contact, click it. There's an email form. And you just email us expressing your interest. We'll get back to you. I suppose that this time... preference will probably be given to people who have not done this. But, you know, if there aren't enough of those, or if there aren't enough who can do it at the same time because scheduling becomes a problem, then we may draw on people who did it the first time. So they should feel free to re-express interest via the contact form if they were part of the other meetup. And I think one thing I'm going to discuss, I think we'll spend... I have this... You know, thing about Trump. Like, broadly speaking, well, I have this broader fear about the world that the kind of psychology of tribalism, the various cognitive biases that give us a kind of psychology of tribalism that lead us to spread fake news, even with the best of intentions, that lead us to not see things from the point of view of our opponents, and so on. That this kind of psychology of tribalism threatens to bring the world to ruin. I felt that even before Trump was elected. I feel it more strongly now. But in particular, I feel that the resistance to Trump is sometimes hobbled by its own version of the psychology of tribalism. I mean, it considers Trump supporters very tribalistic, nationalistic. But I think Trump opponents can be just as complicit in spreading fake news and various ways reacting to Trump in ways that are ultimately counterproductive. So I want to start a discussion about something you could call, like, mindful resistance or wise resistance or various other things, and get some input from people about how you would encourage, you know, constructive, the more constructive kind of venting of anti-Trump energy than I think is sometimes the case. That doesn't mean that supporters of Trump are not welcome as part of this conversation. In fact, they're probably particularly valuable. Mm-hmm. But I talked about that just a little in this first meetup. I want to talk about it at greater length in this next meetup. So I encourage people, if you want to be part of the conversation, go to blogginghands.tv, go to the contact, the word contact at the bottom of the page, click contact, and express your interest in being part of this. Last time we decided... not to record it and post it, and I suspect that's what we'll do this time, it's it just changes the tenor of conversation when people are like conscious of like being seen. And I'm more interested in a genuine conversation here. Mm-hmm. So what else? Anything else?
One other thing that people can do if they like the site and want to help the site thrive in the future is to leave a review on iTunes.
Right.
So the way that iTunes recommends podcasts to people is kind of mysterious, but one thing they do weigh is positive ratings. And if you're the kind of person who would, you know, donate money to NPR for the free service, instead of donating money, just search for Blogging Heads in the iTunes store and leave a positive review. And you can also leave a positive review for any of the individual shows,
right?
Like Culturally Determined
or Meaning of Life TV,
right?
Which is
and positive reviews means that more people will see Blogging Heads if they search for like politics.
And as I understand it, you can with very little effort just give it a rating, right? 5 stars, 4 stars, is that right? You don't have to leave a review.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. I think your review probably could just be like great.
Great, yeah.
5 stars.
In fact, we recommend that particular review. Great. Should we give them some suggested adjectives? Great, sublime, better than anything?
Terrific, which is one of Trump's favorite adjectives.
Terrific. Beautiful. It's beautiful. Not sad. Beautiful. So, yeah, and I guess that's about it. I'm tempted to check Twitter and see if, like, people are out marching in the streets. You know, I fear we're not going to see, like, I would like to see some you know, well-focused demonstrations. I'm now looking at my Twitter feed. You know, some wisely handled. I mean, the demonstrations in response to the travel ban were so amazing. They just happened spontaneously. They were disciplined. They were focused. And I think that had a lot to do with the subsequent rulings we saw in the courts. But... okay, Justin Amash. Wait, who is Justin Amash?
He is a dissident Republican representative from Michigan.
My staff and I are reviewing legislation to establish an independent commission on Russia, he says.
That's big news.
So, shit is happening. Shit happens. Of course, that's your new philosophy can be summarized as shit happens. My new philosophy can be summarized as shit is happening. Right?
That's the key difference between us.
That is the key difference between us. So we'll sign off so we can get this produced, posted in timely fashion. And we encourage everyone to say nice things about us everywhere except when they are not deserved. Thank you, RIA. Everybody should watch your show.
Thanks,
whenever
Bob.
Possible, which is, again, Petticoat Junction. See you around.
See ya.
Thanks for listening to Blogging Heads TV. You can help support this content by remembering to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. You can subscribe to all Blogging Heads episodes or to a specific program by going to our subscribe page at bloggingheads.tv/subscribe. There you can sign up for podcast downloads via iTunes or Stitcher, or you can subscribe to our email and we'll send you an alert every time we post a new episode.